And I titled it, The Spirit of the Laodicea Time. But which we're in today, okay, but I just want to work it a little differently here. I found this letter here, going through some items. I wrote this letter in February 19th, 2002. That's 21 years ago. I thought it'd be fine. This is all part of the Laodicea time. Now, let's see here. We got a few older saints here, few of us. And so we've been seeing some things, okay? And the Lord put you through some things. And when you go through them, you go, hey, you know what, though? You can see how this Bible is so true. It's just you can't deny it. Sometimes the younger folks, you know, they hear it. But then when they go through it, you know, it kind of makes it so real and alive. It controls the world. This is a letter I wrote to the top dogs of the Gideon's International when I was there. And when I joined the Gideon's International and back in the late 80s, it was $25 to join. How they recruit people. And they have 269,000 Gideons around the world. That's a big group, okay? They place the Bibles, so that's a big group. And how they recruit people is they would go to the pastors, go, hey, who do you know that's a businessman? You got to be a businessman or a teacher. Generally, they have time and resources. They can join an organization. They're well-organized group people. And so my pastor recommended me. I went out to the meeting, and I'll never forget it. It was at Starko's restaurant. He goes, you're a guest here today. This will be the only meal you get for free. I remember saying that. I'm Polish. I like free meals at Starko, so that was good. And then he went through the ministry, and, man, it's already set up already. We're going to be able to go here and there in prisons and schools. I go, man. And so I raised my question. And I go, hey, sir, give me these Bibles. What version of the Bible do you have? Because all we have is King James. I said, sign me up, man. I mean, to me, because, you know, hey, if you do things, organize everything, it takes time and energy, effort to organize things. You understand that? I like to stepping up. It's nice to be able not to do it. I'm the kind of guy, you know, if we go somewhere, you're organized the trip. I go, oh. It's nice to be able to have someone do it. You show up. It is a real blessing, understanding that. So they had a well machine. So for $25, I joined. And, you know, whatever I do, I'm a little hyper on things. I just put my feet right in and go. That's just the way I'm geared, personality. And over the years, they had me be the chaplain and the scripture coordinator. And I know people didn't agree with everything we said, but we could agree with giving out, putting the King James Bible in the traffic lanes of life. I get along with that. You know, you walk with someone as long as you can, right? Until you part company, you get that. There are some charismatics in there and Calvinists in there. I get all that, but we're placing the Word of God, traffic lanes of life, I can do that. So, sure enough, one day, I never know who got this thing going, they go, hey, Tim, we're gonna now give out the new King James Bible. I go, what? Where did this come from? So I wrote this letter, here it says. This is to Randy Bjork and Daryl Wright. I'm sure they're with the Lord now. They were up in age. This is 20-some years ago. I have a little bit of grace. Jesus Christ came from grace and truth. You want to be a little graceful but truthful. You know, there's a balance there, you know. Some of us Bible believers are so full of truth that we forget about the grace. One thing about Pastor Hoffman, he has some grace. Amen? That's kind of nice balance there. You know, but he don't budge on truth. So that's a good thing for a pastor to be. For all promises of God in him are yea, and him amen, and the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Thank you both very much for your time, patience. I already said, hey, man, listen, there's a problem with this. I already prompted them already, and I have a meeting. So I'm meeting these guys, the two top dogs, face to face. Patience and great attitudes. It's always great blessing the fellowship with the saints of God. It is a little taste of heaven down on earth. And that's true. When you get fellowship with the saints, talking about spiritual things from the Word of God, it draws you, you know. I'd like to present you both with some material, as you asked, regarding the New King James Version, thank you, and the attack on God's Word. These materials are just a small sampling of what is out there that holds forth the King James Version as the only divinely preserved version for today. If you read these materials and watch the videotapes, this is back in the videotape days, you know. Remember videotape days? This is way before, you know, CDs and all that stuff. All the way through, you have to conclude that the New King James Version, along with all the other versions except the King James, should not be handed out by any born-again, honest Christian that has been exposed to these truths. So, I mean, I'm getting a little, pointy here, but grace, you know. I believe God will hold us accountable for what we know or what we could have found out if we'd been loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. What the Gideons International will have to do, so I write something, I'm like, here's a problem and here's a solution. You know, everyone likes to complain, but given a solution. That's the way I'm a businessman, you know. Hey, when I work for MCI, this is the truth, people always complain. You guys want to complain, no problem. They always say, but give me a solution. Give me a suggestion, right? I mean, anyone go like this here, but I'll listen, there's a problem. So if you have any complaint or problem, just give me a suggestion. And that would cut down about 95% of the problem. Then some people have some good suggestions, and we implemented it. But see, it's not easy to say this year without having a solution. So what the Gideon International have to do on this hot issue is sell it once for all to change their statement of faith on what they believe about God's word. And, you know, if you read the statement, it says, they will have to remove the part that says in the original Greek and Hebrew. You know, so that's the party line to get away from it, you know. But in the original Greek and Hebrew, you know, something like this. And I wrote down, we believe the King James Authorized Version Bible to be the perfect and infallible word of God. We believe the Bible was inspired in its origination and then divinely preserved through its various generations and languages until it reached its final form. By this, we mean the authorized version preserves the very words of God in the form in which we wish them to be presented in the universal language of these last days. And I got the scriptures in there. I got 7 or 8 scriptures in there. I am thankful to both of you that got me looking into this new King James Version. Remember, these things came out. I don't follow them all, but I know more now. But this was coming out back then. They put the word out, you know. And I said, thank you for looking into this version to find out its true colors. It is always great to grow in the Lord. I'm sure after looking at this material that you can come to the same conclusion. Is it clear that the Lord wants this issue brought up so International won't be an uncertain trumpet and confused about the words of God? 1 Corinthians 4:33. It's truly a sincere desire. We can choose any. It is, if we are truly sincere, we can choose the Bible which God results in the perfect word of God. The importance of this question is immeasurable. I'm sorry. For throughout eternity, we will be affected by the answer. That's true. God only knows the blessings that were missed by not having issue resolved. Thank you for your hearing me out. I gave them a list of material. I gave them 6 books here, articles. I even gave them a videotape from Dr. Ruckman. What's the difference? I don't know if you've seen that. It's like a 3.5-hour video cassette. He goes from start to finish. I don't know if you've seen it. It's online now. I mean, I gave him a stack of different authors and Coates and Ripplinger and Watkins. So I gave him a variety of stuff. Well, you know what happened, right? Nothing. It was, you know, it was as quiet as a turkey farm on Thanksgiving Day, whatever they would say, whatever. But point being is, that's part of the apostasy today. You understand that? I mean, when you see, you go through, through the apostasy of the day, you know, you know that we're getting, that's the biggest sign. And I understand technology the way it is, and we can take the mark real easily, and the phones around the world, but it's the apostasy of the church that is the big key. You see it happening. And I've seen it. And I'll go through a few things here in my day. And I ain't got time, but I got the New King James here. And if you read what they say, their own stuff, the average person, the oldest is better, and West Garden Hort now, the Word of God's in a flux. I mean, we all understand that, so I don't want to beat that horse. But you can see how they can easily convince people to not sell something, easily persuade that. You see that, you know? That's why, you know, by words and simple speeches, they confuse people. It's just unfortunately. And so you read it in the back here. If I was a young believer or someone didn't stand, that sounds pretty good. The older are better, you know, and things are in a flux and we got better things. You know, I always say that never, what was amazing to me is if they haven't got things right after 250 counterfeits, when are they going to get it right? I mean, if they're all just every year getting better and better, for sure they have to have better be right. Here's your mistakes, a new one. I mean, it's a funny farm stuff, you know? Now, that's just one little thing. This I saw the other day. I thought it was interesting. This is kind of recent. And oh, by the way, Lord put you in somewhere in a meeting, and they had me. This is the old flip chart they had. If you went to the Gideons back in the day, anywhere around the world, they give you this little flip chart to recruit people. You know, who are the Gideons? Who are the Gideons? Who we are? And look who they have as a poster child. That's me back in 1993. So I was the poster child. So I was the Lord put me in a spot to get them there. So you want to, if the Lord used you something, put you in a spot, you can get it somewhere else. Maybe you're for a company, there's a boss somewhere. Use that spot. Lord put you there for a reason. So I was the poster child for the Gideons back then. In fact, like a couple people in Florida, they called me, "Hey, Tim, I went to a Gideon meeting and there you were." You know, I knew from all time. So I had some authority, and God put me there to be able to. I see this, talk them sincerely with a good attitude. But the attitude isn't really anything; it's a spiritual matter. You get that? Last days. This is interesting here. I got this just February, January, February newsletter from Chick Publications, showing you how close we are. Euthanasia. Is a slippery soap. The Dutch, well, since Pastor is Dutch, he could like this ever, you know, but, you know, I'm Polish, we're Dutch. We ask who's frugal more here, his group, my group, we're not sure. Okay, anyways, the Dutch have a long history of accomplishments, but now they are becoming famous as the pioneers of assisted suicide. What started out in 2001, remember, always start somewhere. They get the head in, that's why you gotta stand fast. It starts somewhere. It's like a camel that puts his head in the tent, and then he steps in. The whole thing's in, right? That's what you can't let that step in. That hey, boom, boom, get out of here. 2001, with the excuse that it was just an act of mercy for terminally ill or those in unbearable pain, is now broadly considered for people who simply feel their life is over. Went from, well, you know, what happens? Someone gets abortion, someone gets raped. You know, they're always trying to get something in there, slippery slope. You get that. Since the original door was open, the slippery slope has inclined the chronically ill, people with disabilities, babies born with serious medical problems, even the mentally ill. Of the 8,700 people that were killed in 2002, 288 were just suffering from dementia. Just kill them. Just kill them. You know, stop here for a minute. I got a client, he's a believer, and it's Tom Marks. He's of the Lord, and he had three kids, two boys and a daughter. And his daughter, whatever mental capacity, whatever she had, she was born kind of messed up. She has a capable of maybe a, I don't know, 4 or 5 year old. She still wears diapers, you know. So it's kind of a sad situation. She's the biggest blessing of all their kids. I mean, I've been there at the house. Come over to my house, Tim. And, you know, we do take some business. And she come home from school, and she take it, yeah, and gives him the biggest hug on the lips. And I can see the tears. It's like freezing your kid when you're 5 years old. You know, they think you work on world hug. I mean, freezing him. And I can see he's still 60s, tears in his eyes, like, Dad. And she's playing with this light game, a light game, whatever, you know. And she's not, but hey, can you imagine? Oh, she's just get rid of her. They don't realize the blessing. I mean, I've seen that. So they want to get rid of these people, I guess, here. One news outlet there reported that 80% of 200,000 people were not against providing assistance in death to elderly people who feel they're reached the end of their life. That's a pretty big number. Europe has been primarily Christian by name only in several generations. When a nation gets away from a vibrant faith in Christ and the Word of God, life loses its meaning, and Satan has open door to promote death. That's what Satan does, promotes death. Now, what's interesting is, show you how the Lord is going to give people what they want. If you go to Revelation here, chapter 9, Revelation chapter 9, verse number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ life. Satan, death. Right? 9 verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke in the pit. That's a big smoke. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them that were given power, as of the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. So these are people that didn't take the mark, or did take the mark. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torments was as a torment of scorpion when it striketh a man. Verse 6, here we go. And in those days shall man seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, that's a pretty amazing verse. Hey, you know what I think of? Think of this Walking Dead stuff. All this Hollywood stuff, Walking Dead, Freddy Krueger, I don't even know, all this crazy, that's gonna probably be going on here. It's a movie to kind of scare you. It's gonna be going on here. Just think about, all of what Hollywood came up, and I think it's all satanic, a lot of that stuff, is a picture of what's gonna happen over here. And here these people are gonna wanna die, and they're gonna try to do something, maybe have a big gash on their face, and walk around like this, like Walking Dead. That's a pretty scary thought. Okay, you wanna die? Let's check, God'll give you a little taste of that. God will let you get some of that. It'll happen in tribulation. Man, that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. That's where we're going. The church, obviously we're going to be out of here. Boom. So, boy, very little time left here. Okay. So, getting into this Laodicean spirit of today, the word Laodicea is mentioned 4 or 5 times in Scripture. And if you look at it, obviously there's Revelation 4:16 talking about the Laodicea church age. I think that's what's going on right now. You can see, as I've gone through a lot of these things in my life, I see the things that are happening, and I'll give you some examples here in a little bit here. But in Colossians 2:1, it says Paul, he was called a prisoner epistle near the end of his time. It says here that, for I would that ye know what great conflict, now he was burned about things, I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen face to face. So he had a burden for, he saw the problem. Laodicea is a church and they had troubles. And in Colossians 4:13, for I bear him record that he had a great zeal for you and them that are Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So he had a burden for them, seeing the problem, I think, that they've had. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nympus and the church which is in his house. And this is written during Paul's ministry. So you can see near the end of his ministry, he had a burden for the Laodiceans, and that's kind of the age that we're kind of in now. And no question about it, that's what's happening today. And if you look at what's an interesting thought here, and this is kind of how I look at Scripture, it makes it more real. That's why the book's alive. If you look at, just for example here, we go to the book of Titus in chapter 2. Watch what's happening here. Let me find Titus. Okay, here we go. Over here in Titus chapter 2. Look at how verse 10 is set up here. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Not prolonging, and that's kind of like stealing away, but showing all good fidelity. What's fidelity? Fidelity is being honest, true. You have good fidelity in your marriage, obviously, that they may abhor the doctrine of God, our Savior, our Savior in all things. Now, doctrine of God. What is doctrine of God? I think that pertains pretty much to the Word of God. You don't know the doctrine of God except for the Word of God, you know. So here it is. Now, so then here he gives you four or five truths. And let's look them in the eyes of the Laodicea we are today. Verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation had to appear to all men. So what's happening here with that verse? What brings people today, their conscience is awakened by by conscience or by creation, right? I mean, if you think about it, what brings people to the Lord is the creation is so clearly seen, man is without excuse. General revelation, right? You know, I remember being as a kid and looking at the stars. You can't see them, Dave, all the stuff they're throwing out there, you know. I'm like, man, look at this. It's unbelievable. I remember going moose hunting, and I was saved now, and we went to middle of nowhere, 100 miles nowhere, and I could just look in the sky, and I was amazed at it's just amazing. God's how the firmament's up there, you know, and how God used creation and conscience to for people to get saved. That's all today covered by aliens, evolution, living. I mean, see how that, and the church has sat there and kind of done that. I remember the first two things I stole unsaved. I stole the microphone. When I was in Tennessee, I went a trip to Tennessee, Grand Ole Opry, and I don't know whatever got into me. There was a microphone in there. I took it and put it in my sock. I still remember that. See, you were searing your conscience. Remember, folks, first thing you ever sold? I mean, we steal things all the time long. Today, people are at their work. They're on their phone all the time. They're stealing from your employer time. I don't know why I let them have a phone. What's wrong? I mean, I have a guy I worked to, I retired him. He goes, Tim, I went to work for Home Depot just because I figured I'd maybe bored. And all the kids, they're on their phone half the time. They're stealing from their employee. You get paid money per hour. They're stealing. I mean, that's a different way. But this is where I literally stole some. And I still remember this day, my conscience was pricked. And I told you about the time I stole that rock and roll tape from Zaire store. I mean, I put it in there. I mean, I remember. See, today, those consciences are pricked. And that's what says here. And that's what's happening in our Laodicea. It's a spirit of Laodicea. Even believers, you know, they don't even think about it anymore. So there's that the grace of God awakened through a conscience and creation, and that's all gone. Look at verse 12 here. Verse 12 to 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There comes down to what? Separation and consecration, right? You know, towards what? First of all, the Word. The Word? What's that Word? See, they've done away with the Word, first of all. Once you get rid of the Word of God, everything else falls, Laodicea. And then also, how about the words go on, then the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we've seen in my generation, this new theology of churches, the free churches, and come as you are, and the rock and roll. I remember preaching against them way early on. These churches where there's rock and roll going on. It's common today. And it seems like it's a normal thing. But you can see this happening because they got away from that's the spirit of Laodicea. You know, spirit of Laodicea. I remember I went to something called, they had a big group, Promise Keepers. Remember? Anyone remember Promise Keepers? Probably, maybe old guys. Well, I was invited, and I knew right away it was going to be bad, but I'm going to go as an ambassador and see what's going on. Oh, I mean, the first day, it was like a rock concert. Remember, I grew up in a rock concert from William Miranda, owned there, and got ballroom his dad there, so I've been to more concerts than I care to be with. It was a rock concert going on, and it was so bad, after the first day, I had to get away from them, be outside, and there were like, I think, 20,000 Christians there. And a few of us outside, because we didn't want to be with the rock music. We're here, a few believers outside. There's 20,000 in there. And that, I gave a report to my church. I go, Tim, tell them what you think. I told folks, hey, man, that's Promise Creepers, not Promise Keepers, you know. And I think it was a fad movement that came and went. But, I mean, you could see it's part of that Laodicea spirit back then. And what happened is it's come today by steroids. You understand that, you know. And so you see this, even this, look at the Laodicea and what Paul was giving a charge here. And Titus, one of his converts, hey, folks, be steadfast here. So he goes through creation, evolution, and the grace of God, separation, consecration, and the world, the flesh, and the devil, without a doubt, has bombarded the church. I mean, it's a part of the world, but it's a part of the church. I mean, you know, here's a line here, and here we are standing in line, and there's the world, and we kind of slowly got closer, and even the Bible-believing churches. I mean, it's affecting us in some way. So we're getting closer and closer and closer. That's what Paul warned about. And when I think about the Lord, he knew all this ahead of time. And I know, and you probably know about people that were maybe solid in the Word, and now they're maybe in a rock and roll church or not going anywhere. God, you know, God saved them way back then knowing that. I mean, think about if you would have known how bad something would have been if you would put time, your time and your effort into them, right? But God, that's the grace of God. He still puts time and energy. Maybe we'll come back. Don't know. And look at verse 13 here. This is I write this all the time, this verse here. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope. That's, we're hoping we happen today, amen? But there's a lot of believers, believe it or not, they have no clue. They've, amillennial. The Steven Anderson group, you know, which is a big part of this new independent fundamental Baptist group, they believe we're Israel. And the rapture is, of course, out. We're going through tribulation. There's a bunch of people following that, you know that. They got a big, giant movement. I mean, that's just part of the Laodicea. It's a spirit. And we ought to be aware of that, you know, so they don't even, you know, oh, rapture. Susan Rogers, one of my business partners, she's a lawyer. She lives in Georgia, and she goes to a Baptist church. She goes to a ladies' meeting. They're not even, well, the Lord's come back. Well, maybe, they don't even, she's a little frustrated because they're not even looking for the blessed hope. I mean, and they're not even looking for that. Well, yeah, I mean, he'd been saying that for a while. That's that Laodicea spirit. See how? So the Laodicea spirit gets into this stuff over here. Now, look at verse 2:14 here for a minute here. It says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now, that's if you've got 1, 2, and 3 done, you're generally going to serve the Lord. If you're shot down, you know, the Word of God, you know, it's just a translation, and hey, you know, the Lord ain't coming back, and why be separated from the world? You're not going to want to do anything. Remember, it's like that spies, 12 spies went into spy out the lounge there in the Old Testament, and 10 of them were scared. Man, there's giants in the land. You know, hey, but you know, well, Caleb, Joshua, no, march, piece of cake, the Lord said it, we're going to get it. Sometimes we look at things and we look at a big job, we're like, hey, how are we going to do that? But the Lord promised it, hold fast to his word. That's, we're missing that today because it's a Laodicea spirit which affects the word of God, which affects our faith, right? Faith comes by hearing. It's pretty basic, but you understand where it's coming, we're coming here today, you know. And then verse 2:14 it says, verse 2:15 it says, these things, what things? The things I just showed you here, folks, about the doctrines of God, about what God's going and looking at in light of the Laodicea church age. Speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Well, I think we have here, in remembrance of me. You know, the Lord's Supper should bring two things while we have that. Number one, what the Lord did for all of us. You think about that. And then he's coming again, right? It's, remember, folks, I mean, memorials are very good. I mean, particularly when they're biblical. Remember where you came from. See, I got saved. Yeah, Paul, 20-something years old when you were saved, right, Paul? 20-something years old, you were, right, Paul? And so I got saved in 20s. I got saved in 20s. We've been through some things that I didn't get saved at 7, 8 years old. I wish I would have. But between 12, 13 years old and 25, there's a gap, things that I ain't real proud of. They're in my head. I try to put them under the blood, and I think about them. But, man, I appreciate what the Lord did for me, man. Going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm glad. Remember, we got to remember those things. Man, I tell you something. I remember driving down the road in my 1971 Dodge Super B, candy apple red, 383 Magnum, Hurst four-speed, 390, and the speedometer's bouncing 120 miles an hour down the roads. This is a muscle car, no power, no brakes. Having a beer between my leg here, and a girl, arm over a girl, out of a tree, I'd be going to hell. You don't think I'm appreciated, man? Man, oh man. Stupid kid. Man, oh man. I can't tell you something. You know, hey, quiet. I remember that, man. That is just stupidity. Hey, I have friends that died young age. You're in hell today. That could have been me. And there's no second chance. So these things are important for the believer, especially the Bible believers, got things right, the vision. But we see the Laodicea church. We should be more standfast about some of these things. Amen? You know? And so the book of Corinthians, we talk about second coming and remember where you came from. Where you came from, this has kind of been diluted a lot of churches. You know, we're going to do it once everyone, just to do it. That's a reverent time. I think it's any time you personally should have that remembrance daily, however it is. But it's nice that you have it corporately just to remind you of these things and where we came from and where we are right now, Laodicea. And we are sitting, and I look at it like really sad. Part of me is out there. I read these things going on, been through them. But then I look where we're going. You know, the future looks pretty bright if you're a believer. Amen? The bright morning star. Amen. Okay. The last thing here, because I'm almost time to be finished up here. Look at the last verse here in Titus 2:15. These things, I mentioned it, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise these. So what do we have? The authority of the Word of God, right? The authority of the Word of God, so we can do rebuke. Our authority is the Word of God. We're able to put this all together to stand fast against the spirit of Laodicea time. Get that, folks? So just a little. I think I'll get more into this next lessons here in February, but lay a foundation here to show you where we're at. And if you go under some times, you know, I guarantee, like me, you know, you probably should stand fast, maybe a little over here, could be a little better. But you know what, though? Amen. Okay, that happens again. Stand fast again. You got to stand fast against the Laodicea times and just trust the Lord. And you may not see some of these things in your lifetime. It'll make a difference. The Lord knows. And when you leave a lot of times, they think, yeah, you know what, though? I hear some things the Lord's working behind the scenes. You know, what's that guy saying? Stand on the Word of God. I want what some of these people thought about now after all these years. I told these guys with the Gideons to go, if you take this version in, I promise you, they always thought the same changes. You know, it'll be other ones. Within a few years, it went from the New King James to the modern English, ESV now. When I was ESV. I mean, and then I look at the numbers of like 58 million versions, trips they give out. 38 million, and this is our country alone, are ESV, some are still King James still, but you can see the thing coming in just polluting, and they have no idea. All right, so I just want to give you some idea, lay a foundation here about the spirit of the Laodicea time, and if you look at it and read scripture in the back of your mind, you can see why the warnings, how they apply today. All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for just some thoughts here, Lord, for Sunday school as we are just turning the corner and ending things. Father, you are the church age. I hope that you want things done today. Won't have to drive home. Wouldn't that be cool? Man, oh, man. Sign me up. Man, oh, man. That'd be great. I always think about that, Lord. Where will I be when I hear?
Come up hither, Tim Dumas.
Man, that's going to be a great day. That's a blessed day. So, Lord, anyways, we see your word, how real it is, how alive it is, how true it is. And that should bring us excitement, Lord, but yet some conviction as soldiers these last days. So just pray for folks here, something that was said that could help them out some way, or some folks need to talk to, or just something, Lord, that might be a little blessing to them, Lord, may be able to use it. I thank you for Brother Joe as he's going to minister us here in a message, Father. I believe. Or Frank, I'm not, Frank's here. I remember him being here. So let's pray, Lord, that you work things out, Lord. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.